I want you to open your Bibles once again to Daniel chapter 12. Your Bible probably will just fall open to Daniel chapter 12. You probably don't even have to help it very much. I've fallen and I can't get up. Daniel chapter 12. We've been looking at this chapter now for the last several weeks, and we have learned that Daniel is basically being shown in this 12th chapter that God's will be done, that God's purpose, God's plan will be executed, that God is in control. And it looked rather hopeless for Daniel and for the Jews and for all that Daniel saw that was going to take place when he looked down the future. As the visions were unfolded, he saw trying times ahead for the people, for God's chosen people, the Jews. Their nation had been conquered by the Gentiles 70 years earlier, by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. The people, many of them, carried to Babylon under duress, of course. They were not invited to come. They were forced to go. And the city was ransacked. The temple was torn apart. And the gold was stolen and brought back to Babylon. And so here's Daniel now, having all these visions that are recorded in the book, and it just does not look good. And so this 12th chapter is basically God assuring Daniel that he's in control and that he knows what he's doing, and that nothing will prevent the Lord's perfect will from being done. And that's where we are in this chapter. You'll remember from last week we looked at the fourth verse, and God told Daniel to shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. And then there is a colon there, and here he is in the next two phrases. He is going to describe what the times of the end will be like. Seal the book until the times of the end. And here's what it's going to be like in the times of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So we looked at that last week, and certainly we are here. Many shall run to and fro. It's hard to imagine, but I woke up this morning in Smyrna, Tennessee, just southeast of Nashville. And then went to the airport, got on an airplane, and a couple hours later, I'm back in Westminster. Simple, easy, no problem other than going through security, no problem whatsoever. And so, not that I had trouble going through security. Everybody has trouble going through security. Please don't start rumors. But anyway, we're here. We're seeing, we live in an age where knowledge is increased. And we said that, generally speaking, there is a great increase in knowledge. Our generation knows so much more about ourselves and about our universe and about our planet and about our bodies. We know more today than any generation previous. But is that what it's referring to? Well, I'm sure that that's included, but I think that this being the Bible, there's a spiritual significance to that phrase. Knowledge shall be increased. I think our knowledge of the Bible is greater today, and our understanding of the Bible is greater today than any previous generation has had. And the reason I say that is because there is this little country, this little nation over in the Middle East that we call Israel, that as of 1948 became its own sovereign government once again. And when that happened, it unlocked much of the Bible, especially the prophetic chapters, to give a greater understanding of Scripture to this generation than to any previous generation. All right, now that leads us to verse 5. And I said I was not going to take 15 minutes and do an introduction tonight, and I didn't. I took 10. I'm sorry. But I need to bring you up to date, or I feel that it benefits us when we do that. Look at verse 5 now. We'll pick up where we left off. All right, it says, "Then I, Daniel, looked and beheld, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, 'How long shall it be to the end of these wonders?' And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished." All right, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful word. And Lord, we ask your blessings now upon us tonight. I pray that you will just guide and direct as I do my best to try and give some explanation of these great verses. And Lord, what tremendous truths are here. What wonderful things we see. And Lord, I pray that you will bless us tonight and give us a clear understanding of what we're about to hear. And Lord, I just pray that you'll guide and direct my thoughts. But Lord, I want to pray for all of our folks who have gathered here this evening. And Lord, we've come tonight because we want to hear from your word, and we want you to speak to our hearts. And Lord, we want to go from here with something in our hearts that we didn't have before. And so Lord, light a fire in us and give us understanding and stir our souls with your word. Help us to see, Lord, the soon return of our Savior. Help us to understand that nothing will prevent the Lord's word and the Lord's will from being done. And so, Lord, bless us richly tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'll just meet with us and thrill our hearts with your word. Help us to be in awe of your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, I want you to look, please, at verse 5, and we're going to move right along now in the book. I only read a couple of verses to you tonight because I figure that's about all we'll get, so we'll probably not finish tonight. But understand this much. This is at the end of Daniel's life. All right, Daniel died when he was in his mid-90s. There are some folks say he was 94, some folks say he was 96. If you're 94, what's two more years? I mean, who cares, you know? But anyway, he was in his 90s when he died, and so he is now at the end of his life. And here is Daniel now telling us the last big thing that occurred in his life, the last message, so to speak, that the Lord sent to him. And it's really amazing what is recorded from verse 5 down to verse 13 to the end of the chapter. But we start with verse 5, and we see that Daniel is sitting alongside the Tigris River. He is there in Babylon, still in Babylon. Matter of fact, he has spent his entire adult life in Babylon. He never got to go back with the others. When Cyrus came, you remember Cyrus let the children of Israel go back. And Nehemiah, the whole book of Nehemiah is about that. Where Nehemiah was the cupbearer for the king, and he was sad, and he said, "Why are you so sad?" And he said, "Well, how can I be happy when my city lies in ruin?" And so Cyrus let them go back. Daniel was old and had served his purpose, and he didn't go back. So here he is now He's alongside the Tigris River in Babylon. But notice that he has remained strong and he has remained faithful in his relationship to the Lord. And this is a great testimony to this wonderful prophet. What a man of God Daniel was. Daniel shows us that it is entirely possible to live in an environment that is wicked and sinful and evil to its core. Their way of life, their religion, everything about them was shameful. But yet here is Daniel in this environment, and Daniel shows us that it is possible to live in a horrible condition, but yet live a strong Christian life and stay close to the Lord. Daniel, I remind you, Daniel didn't have the Church of the Open Door that he could attend. He didn't have Carroll Christian Schools where he got his education. Daniel did not have the soul winners club in his local church where he could learn how to be a soul winner. He did not have a ladies Bible study group or a men's Bible study group where he could go and learn the Word of God. But yet, in the midst of all this evil and in the midst of all this sin and in the midst of all this philosophy that was opposed to God, Daniel remained strong and he stayed faithful to the Lord. What a man of God he was. Now, I remind you, there are two major characters in the Bible that God records nothing negative about them. One is Joseph and the other is Daniel. And Daniel is a great example of godliness for a man that lived in the very heart of the world at that time. And so he walked with God. He trusted in the Lord. He trusted in the promises of God. He was a man of faith, and he stood for the truth in the midst of this evil, wicked society, this perverse capital of the world, Babylon. And right in the middle of it is a man that stood and continued to stand right to the very end of his life. Now, God's agents for communicating his message to Daniel in this last part of the book are these two angels that we read about in verse 5. You will notice it says, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on the other side of the river." So here are two angels. One is on one side of the river, and the other is on the other side of the river. And they start to talk to one another. They start to communicate and talk back and forth to one another. And Daniel overheard the discussion. Now, look at your Bible, please, at verse 6. It says, "And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be how long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" Now, I want us to look for a moment at the conversation that takes place here. You'll notice there is one angel on one side of the river. There is another angel on the other side of the river. And then all of a sudden, there is a third party that shows up. Now, let's think for a minute and take a look at the conversation between these beings, between these angels and this other man that we read about in verse 7, the one that was clothed in linen. The question that I want to ask you is this: what did they talk about? What are they talking about? Now, notice please, it says, then verse 5, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, one on one side, one on the other. And the one said to the man clothed in linen." Now, what was the conversation about? Well, look at Daniel records the question. How long shall it be to the, what's the next word? End of these wonders. Now, what wonders are they talking about? They're talking about all of the prophecies that the Lord has used them to give to Daniel. He's the interpretation of Daniel. Daniel records for us these visions, and he sees the kingdoms that were coming. We see them as history. Daniel saw them as prophecy, and they see the Medes and the Persians. They see the Greeks. They see the Romans. They see Christ and Christ cut off, crucified. They see tribulation period and the rise of the Antichrist. They see all of this. It's recorded in the visions. I mean, if you think about it, these angelic beings, these angels, were the ones that were used of God to communicate the message to Daniel. All right. You say, well, who were these? Well, we do not know exactly who they were. They are not named. It is supposed that one of them was probably Michael, the angel that is referred to in the first verse of the 12th chapter. And he is also mentioned in chapter 11 as he was giving Daniel the interpretation of his dream and all the prophecy. So it is believed that probably one of them was indeed Israel's protector, the archangel Michael. But we do not know for sure because the angels are not named. But what did they talk about? Well, you'll notice here that it says that they asked the one clothed in linen, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Now, just like Daniel was greatly concerned about the time element. You remember, I've spent a great deal of time talking to you about how Daniel was concerned about the time element. The reason he was so concerned about it was because he saw all of this, all these kingdoms rise. He saw all these kings and these conquering nations, and he saw all these little tyrants shoot off of the other kings, and he saw Israel right in the middle of all of this Gentile world. And he saw the persecution, and he saw the death and destruction. Then God took him forward way down the road and showed him the tribulation period and showed him how the Antichrist would persecute the Jews. And so Daniel was concerned about the time element. And now here are these angels, and they are conversing back and forth. Daniel was just sitting there listening, and his heart must have just leaped within him as he realized, wow, they don't even know the time element here. They're not even sure. So what was the conversation about? All right, now let me ask you this. Do you think for a minute that either one of these angels doubted that God's word was going to be fulfilled? Of course not. But let me show you something. Go over to the New Testament. Hold your place here. And go over to the New Testament to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's begin reading in verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, what does that mean? The Old Testament prophets wrote about the coming of Christ. And they told us in their writings that the Messiah was coming, the Christ, the Anointed, that He was coming. And they told us, they testified that He would suffer. But now notice the next phrase. It said, when it testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ. Now here's what the Jews missed. They missed the suffering part and the glory that should follow. All right, now, he came the first time for the first part of that. He came the first time 2,000 years ago to suffer on Calvary's cross. The Old Testament told us that. Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, all right, and several other passages, but those are the two key passages. So the Old Testament told us that Jesus was coming. And it also told us that he was coming again, right? All right, the Old Testament said he's going to come and suffer, and that he did 2,000 years ago when he was born in Bethlehem's manger, and when he lived and died and was buried and then was resurrected and then ascended to the Father. That is the first thing that Peter says the Old Testament prophets prophesied about, that they wrote about, they testified about. But the Jews missed that. They got so hung up on the glory that should follow that they missed the first coming. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. All right, so read on. It's in the Old Testament. That's the point I want you to get. It's in the Old Testament, both the first coming and the second, the sufferings and the glory. Now look at verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Which things? What things? The gospel. The gospel. Which things the angels desire to look into. Now, what did they talk about? Folks, listen, these angelic beings who stand before God, who rush to do his bidding, are intensely interested in human affairs. They're interested in what Jesus is doing or has done and will do for us. They're interested in it. Now, they heard the message. I mean, they delivered the message to Daniel. Daniel receives this vision, this prophecy of all that God's going to do. Where did Daniel get it? Well, he got it from God, but the angels were the ones that delivered the interpretation to him. Daniel is now sitting there listening to these angels talk about it. What are these angels talking about? Are they questioning? Are they doubting God? Are they questioning? Well, I wonder if this is really going to happen. Of course not. They know that it's going to happen. But now let me show you an interesting verse. Go over to Matthew for just a minute. 24. Matthew 24. The Lord Jesus in this passage is speaking about his return. He's talking about his return, the glory that should follow. Look at verse 35. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. You want to know why these angels were talking about all this stuff? Look, go back to our text. Go back and read it. Their question is, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Folks, the reason that they're not doubting, is this really going to happen? They are not doubting. They are not sitting there skeptics of God. They are not sitting there, this is not the beginning of biblical criticism. No, sir. They are standing there talking back and forth. They know that God's word is going to be fulfilled. They know that God is going to send the Lord Jesus. They know that God, the Savior, the Messiah, is going to be cut off. They know that the Holy Spirit is going to come back when Jesus ascends to the Father and takes a seat at the right hand. They know all of that. They're not questioning. They're sitting there saying, we don't even know when Jesus is going to come back. So when are you coming back? That's basically what they're asking. Because you see in the next verse, there is one standing there clothed in linen. That is a Christophany. That is the Lord Jesus standing on the waters. That is Jesus standing there. Folks, these angels watch everything that is concerned with man's redemption. They don't need redemption. They are not sinners, but they know we do, and they also know that the devil is doing everything he can to keep us from redemption and to hinder the plan and the program that God has for our redemption. They understand the mystery of godliness. You know what I'm talking about there? The mystery of godliness. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy and basically, well, all right, I didn't, we never will get through this. Go over please to Timothy. We never will get done. First Timothy 3:16, 15 and 16. 1 Timothy 3, he said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Now, what is that mystery of godliness? Well, here it is. It's the gospel. God was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit. That means he was raised from the dead. He proved himself. He justified his claim. He was justified in the Spirit. When he was resurrected, that proved he was the Son of God. He was seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. That's the mystery of godliness. The angels know, they understand that the mystery of godliness. They know that God would send a Redeemer. They know that God has a plan. They know all of this. The angels, therefore, watch everything that goes on with us because everything that is connected to redemption, they don't need redemption. They're not sinners. But they know we need them. And God has sent them to us to be ministering spirits, to guide and to protect and to help. You're not going to know until you get to heaven just how much interference they've had in your life. All right? But the point being that they are aware. And don't forget, folks, they know God's plan here. After all, they were the ones God used to deliver it to Daniel. But also understand, they are fully aware of the mystery of iniquity. Now, you remember I've told you, everything God has, Satan has a counter for it. God has the mystery of godliness. Satan has the mystery of iniquity. They are fully aware that there is a mystery of iniquity. Just as God has a plan, Satan has a plan. And that's to thwart God's plan. And so, everything God comes up with, Satan counters it. God has a book, the devil has his book. God has a church, the devil has his churches. God has his preachers, Satan has his preachers. So everything God has, Satan has a counter for. God has a mystery of godliness. Satan has a mystery of iniquity. These angels are fully aware of all that. It's not that they're doubting, but Jesus said in Matthew 24 that, yes, he came the first time, and yes, he's coming the second time. And he said, of that day and hour, no man knows. And here's Daniel sitting on the bank of the river, and he knows that all this is coming. He just doesn't know when. And now all of a sudden, can you imagine Daniel sitting there listening to this? And now all of a sudden, these two angels show up, and they start communicating back and forth. What are they talking about? No doubt, the same thing that's on Daniel's heart. They're wanting to know, how long? How long? And by the way, folks, that's what we want to know, isn't it? How long, Lord? How much longer do we have to wait? And the answer is, no man knows the day nor the hour. And the reason these angels were trying to talk, we're talking about, is because they don't even know. They are around the throne, and they don't even know. But don't think for a minute that they're sitting there questioning or criticizing. Just like all of us. I mean, we look at the mess the world is in. We look at the wickedness. We look at the chaos. We look at the compromise. We look at the anarchy. We look at the rejection of the truth. And we throw our hands up in the air. And we say, how long, Lord? How long is this going to last? When's the Lord coming back to straighten this whole mess out? Well, the point is, folks, these angels wondered this as well. And I don't know about you, but I think it's kind of interesting that there are limitations that are placed on these amazing creatures. You see, God's the only one that has everything. There's limitations on everything, on everybody else. All right, now let's look at verse 7 quickly. Look at verse 7. How long? One said to the other, how long? And look at verse 7. It says, and I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Look at verse 8. It says, and I heard, but I, what? Daniel said, I heard that, but I just didn't get it. And so then Daniel speaks up. Now watch, get it in your mind. Here's one angel over here. Here's the river. Here's another angel over here. This one's on this side of the river. That one's on that side of the river. And they're questioning, how long till the end of all this stuff? Have you heard anything while you've been flying around? Have you ever heard any conversation up there about this? And then all of a sudden, standing on the river is Jesus. And Jesus speaks up and says, boys, here it is. I'm going to tell you what's already been revealed. I'm not going to tell you any more than that. I'm not going to give you the date and the hour. I'm just going to tell you what's already been revealed. What Jesus said was already revealed to Daniel in his previous visions. A time, times, and a half. Time, that's 1 year. Times, that's more than one. Three, that's two more. So 3.5. The 3.5 years of the tribulation. He's making a reference to the tribulation. And you'll notice he says, when he, and we'll get to he in a minute, shall have accomplished to scatter the power of thy holy people, all these things shall be finished. He did not reveal to him anything, to them, anything that was not already revealed. But the point is, Daniel didn't get it. And so he speaks up and says, oh, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Now, I'm not going to give away the end of the message, but look at verse 9. Basically, the Lord Jesus says, Daniel, I'm not going to tell you. You've done what I wanted you to do. Daniel, the words are closed up and sealed unto the time of the end. I'm not going to reveal it to you right now. And there's poor old Daniel. He's sitting there, got to watch all this. And, you know, it's like two high school kids sitting around saying, "You're not going to believe what I heard. Oh, but I can't tell you." What? Come on, tell me. No, I can't tell you. Oh, come on. No, I can't tell you. And Daniel is sitting there, the only person who knows, and Daniel was begging. He's sitting there listening to the Lord say to these angels that the Lord lifts his hands towards the throne, lifts his hands towards heaven, and looks up into the upon the throne and says, "It shall be for a time and for times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished." And Daniel said, "I heard that, but I didn't understand it." And I said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. What? Wait a minute, Lord, what?" And the Lord just told me, "Daniel, you've done your duty. Come on, come, you're done. The book has been sealed. I've given all I'm going to give. I've revealed all I'm going to reveal. It'll all work itself out in the end. Trust me. Trust me." All right, now, let's look at the one who does know the answer but refused to give it. In verse 7, conversation between the angels, and suddenly there's another one that enters the scene. One angel's on one side of the river, another angel on the other side of the river, and suddenly one shows up clothed in linen, and this one speaks. With a solemn gesture, raising both of his hands to heaven, the shining one, standing on the river, took his oath by the living and eternal God and assured the others that indeed the end was in sight. He mentions a period he calls a time and times and a half. And this refers to the 3.5 years when the Antichrist reigns in terror against Israel. And when the 3.5 years are up, the Lord Jesus said, "That's it. That's the end. Daniel's 70th week of years will be over. It'll be over." Now look carefully at the one in verse 6. Michael is probably the identity of one of the angels. The other is not named. But the individual here is without doubt the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say that because look at verse 7. Notice the authority with which he speaks. He tells us that it will take exactly this specific amount of time to accomplish God's purpose and to bring this whole thing to an end. But then you look in verse 8, after he spoke, Daniel speaks, raises his voice and says, "Oh, my Lord, oh, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" So this was the Lord that showed up here. Isn't that something? Daniel has been faithful. Daniel has stayed on track. Daniel has delivered the goods. He has written what God has told him to write. And he gets down to the end, and now here's the Lord showing up to give Daniel comfort and strength and peace for his heart. Folks, listen, there's nothing like just living for the Lord. Nothing like it at all. He calls him Lord. He knew who he was. And the Lord promises Daniel when the end would be. Look please now at verse 7. Look at verse 7, last part of the verse. It says, "And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people." Now what is that? Folks, listen, for centuries, actually for millennia now, the Jews were scattered in all parts of the world. From Nebuchadnezzar and the times of the Babylonians until 1948, the Jews were scattered and had no nation, had no country of their own. And all of a sudden in 1948, they established themselves as their own sovereign nation. And since that time, millions, to the tune of well over 6 million now, have come back and returned to live in the land promised to Abraham and to his seed. Israel today is the powerhouse in the Middle East. Their influence in the world is enormous, especially when you consider how outnumbered they are in the Middle East. They are a power to be reckoned with today, and nobody understands their might and power until they cross them. And then they find out full force just how powerful they are. How long will this last? It will change during the midpoint of Daniel's 70th week. Right now, they have elected Benjamin Netanyahu, a hardline conservative, whose stance on the whole Palestinian thing is hardline. Now, you can't imagine the pressure that the world puts on them. You can't imagine the pressure that our former president put on the former prime minister of Israel to go easy and to go soft and to not unleash all their power and to fight a war that was ridiculous, to be honest with you. They could have wiped Lebanon plumb off the face of the earth when Hezbollah was sitting up there lobbing the rockets over into them a couple of years ago. But to cry out of our White House and out of our government was, be nice, be nice, be nice. Don't destroy it. And in this last one, when they went down and bombed Gaza, Israel said, stop it. And they wouldn't stop. And finally, when school kids were getting killed, and Omar realized that he was corrupt to the core anyway, like half of Obama's cabinet. And he knew he was gone, and the pressure was on to stand up. So they did. And they call over, now you go easy, go easy. They said, not this time. Not this time. And it happened just like I told you. We have sent $700 billion or something like that, a lot of money to help rebuild it. $700 million, I think we promised them. $700 million on top of all the money we've already spent on ourselves. But I told you that's what would happen. They wouldn't stop. Israel bombed. Now we rebuild it. Us and Russia and China, we're rebuilding it. Saudi Arabia. But Israel's power is going to be cut off at the midpoint of the tribulation. Look at verse 7. They're a power to be reckoned with right now, but notice this. And when he, who's he? The Antichrist, the beast, that he has been speaking about in chapter 11 and chapter 9 and chapter 8 and chapter 2. When he shall have accomplished to scatter the what? Folks, it would take a lot to scatter that power right now. With the United States standing behind them, it would take a lot to scatter that power right now. But when the rapture takes place and the world's in chaos and China calls in its loans, are you listening? Oh, son, the stage is set. When China says, we want our money, and Obama says, print more. And all of a sudden, we're reduced to just a used to be, a has been. And our government sits around and shrugs its shoulders and goes, whoops, guess we messed up there. And then Antichrist rises to power. All of a sudden, at the midpoint of the tribulation, he is going to scatter the power of the holy people. The Jews will be under the Antichrist's attack. The Antichrist will rule. He will have the world at this time. Remember, midpoint, he is resurrected from a deadly wound. And it's all seen on CNN, Fox, and all the rest of them. And the world bows before him. And all of a sudden, he now takes all this power, turns it towards the Jews, and they flee. Because he's out to drive them into the sea. They flee, they run, and they have to run down to Petra, down to Edom, where God will protect them. And the point is, folks, when you see that, God said, hey, when you see that, then you'll know that it's finished. That's it. And here it is. Here's Daniel. He's looking all the way down, and these angels are talking back and forth. Well, we know it's going to happen. We're not questioning that. But when's it going to happen? They don't even know. There is one that knows, though. He shows up, and they ask him, when's it going to be? And he tells them, when you see my people scattered. And folks, I'm telling you right now, they're together right now better than they've been in eons. Better, long time. They're united right now. That Gaza war shook them up. And they're a powerful people to be reckoned with right now. I would not make Netanyahu mad at me. No way. They are power to be reckoned with. But mark it down, dear friend. When that beast comes along, he's going to scatter the Jews. And Jesus said to those angels, when you see this, you'll know the end. We're getting there, folks. It's getting close. You just keep looking up. Your redemption draweth nigh. All right, Father, thank you for the word. Bless it. Give us understanding. Give us, Lord, I pray, understanding of what your perfect plan is. Lord, help us to know and to understand and to clearly see that you have a plan. You're going to execute that plan. Nothing can hinder it. Nothing can stop it. And Lord, we may not know the day nor the hour, but we can see the signs all around us that point to a soon return of our Savior to this earth. Lord, bless us. Seal this in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.